All right, so I've got a question for you today. Who out there is feeling a bit anxious? Well, today we're going to talk about anxiety and its many different forms. And that conversation is coming right up.
Matters of the Mind is a faith-based mental health outreach where we're dedicated to education, empowerment, and encouragement. Join the conversation today by becoming a subscriber to the Matters of the Mind podcast. Just hit the subscribe button now from wherever you're listening, and you'll be joining a community of folks just like you. Now, let's get the conversation started with your host, Dave Anthony.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another Matters of the Mind, the podcast. And we are happy to have you here today. Coming up, we're going to be talking about anxiety and its many different forms. Maybe we'll dial yours in. So let's begin the conversation. Now, despite what you may have been told, anxiety is not one size fits all. It affects many different people in many different ways. Right off the top, let's talk about anxiety disorders. I think that's something that you can address, Lisa.
Definitely have that issue. I have had anxiety since I was, at least since I was aware in junior high school. And probably even before that, but I would spend many and class in the nurse's office because I would feel nauseous and dizzy, cold sweats. I can't even go through the list of all the things that I would feel, thinking I was going to pass out. And years later, finding out that those were panic attacks, it was like I had no idea. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't say, "Oh, I'm having a panic attack." You know, this was in the late 80s, so it wasn't really talked about. You didn't hear about it on the news as much. There wasn't social media out there to share this kind of the struggles of anxiety, depression, or any mental illness. So yeah, I definitely suffered from it, and I wish I had known what I was suffering from a lot sooner than I did.
All right, so you just mentioned anxiety, which you experience. I see that in real time, and so do I.
What are you trying to say? Have you seen me have a panic attack before?
Once or twice. So anyway, and she also kind of segued in her own little thing there to panic disorders, which is another form of anxiety.
Right. Mm-hmm. So panic disorder would be more severe, I think. And it has to do with there's more repetitive panic attacks that come out of the blue from nowhere, really don't have any sort of trigger necessarily, and you don't know when they're going to stop.
And then panic attacks hit quick, and then they generally...
They're typically more of a... It could be a chemical, something still in your body that's just not right, but typically it's generated from something that's happening around you sensory-wise. It could be that you heard something, that you saw something, that you're in a crowded room. Anything can set it off. Sound, sense, noise, I mean, you name it. It can be triggered into the form of a panic attack.
And like I said, panic attacks can come in a moment's notice. They hit hard, and they usually not just affect us internally, but environmentally as well. Most people, when they go into a panic attack mode, they become very anxious. And that's when the social anxiety comes into play. So many people, like myself, will put ourselves in those situations, sometimes intentionally, just to see if we can do it. Or we find ourselves stuck in a situation somewhere and we can't get out of it. When you feel a panic attack come on now as an adult. I know you spoke earlier about your early childhood, but now as an adult, how do you know that a panic attack is about to happen?
I start literally feeling anxious, and I don't know if you've suffered from anxiety, you know what I'm talking about. You literally start feeling edgy and hypersensitive to what's going on around you and kind of looking around going, can anybody tell that I'm feeling this way? And a lot of times it'll be my feet will start bouncing, like I'll start tapping my toes and I'll start pacing because I don't feel good. Like I don't feel right. I don't feel safe or secure. I don't even know how to describe it other than to say that the anxiety just kicks in for me.
Now for me, it seems like panic attacks are constantly lurking, easily triggered by some of the warped things that I think, and you know, the people looking at me, the people think that I'm strange. I mean, all those emotions just start to play into it. And then next thing you know, I'm stuck and I feel like I can't get out of the situation. And so I tend to find the nearest exit and try to separate myself from that situation so I can take myself to a safe place, if you will.
So that occasionally happens when we're shopping at like Walmart, not to call out Walmart, but just to call out a store that's got lots of people. And a lot of times you have to exit quite quickly, even before we're done shopping. And that can be something that really interrupts your day when you're not able to complete things like something that other people take for granted, simply going shopping.
And that's why Lisa does all the shopping.
That's right. But I also have panic attacks when I'm shopping as well, and I just have to get through them because they're fortunately not as bad as what you go through. But boy, not being able to breathe when you're standing in the checkout line and you're trying to get your breath and you feel like you can't swallow and that anxiety starts rolling in and you feel like it's not going to ever end. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah, you feel somewhat paralyzed at times. And what do you do? I'm asking you, what do you do? That's a good question. Because like I said early on, anxiety attacks are not one size fits all. I love using that expression, so I may overuse it sometimes.
They are incredibly personal.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, when you are surrounded by people, again, I'll use the example of social anxiety because that's the one that really is a thorn in my side. But when it comes to those situations, those very uncomfortable situations, it is best that you do try to remove yourself from the situation because that's about the only way you're going to be able to bring your anxiety level down, unless, of course, you take a Xanax and and that'll work too.
Are you saying to be medicated while you're shopping?
Maybe.
It might need to be, right? Well, the good thing is that 9 times out of 10, you try at least to get through a situation. You know, shopping is a place where you can get panic attacks, but you still try on occasion and you still keep trying. And so we don't say give up on something. If you have a panic attack every time you go to X, Y, and Z store, maybe you shouldn't go to that store. If you're not feeling good, if you get sick from eating something, you don't keep eating it. So why would you want to continue to put yourself in the situation where you know you're going to have a panic attack? That's not to say you don't keep trying, but it's definitely something that you need to be aware of so that you just know what you can and can't prevent.
Put me in a Walmart store, and not only am I instantly feeling anxious because of some of the craziness that goes on, certain people combat shopping, I also suffer from OCD. And
no, you do?
Well, it's not as bad as it used to
be. Oh, you don't think it's bad?
You do?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also a germaphobe. So you put me in that situation and I'm a mess. And 9 times out of 10, I'll try as hard as I can for as long as I can. And then I'll tell Lisa, I've got to go to the car.
And then he soaks himself with antibacterial cleaner because every germ on the planet is just landed on his hands.
So can anybody else relate to that? Are you a germaphobe? Does it cause anxiety for you? Again, I try to avoid those situations. I've been dealing with stuff long enough that I know what I can and can't do as far as, you know, my comfort zone. And it's more than that. It's functionality. And when you can't move, when you're paralyzed by the environment that you're in, I cannot stress this enough that you need to back up. You need to step away and go to your corner, go to your car or wherever you can go to kind of reset, if you will, and then go home.
Sometimes it's just the act of getting some fresh air outside that can help reset your emotions and your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest panic attack I think I ever had was in a meeting room far away from home in a little town in Nebraska. And I always try as hard as I can to make sure that I'm seated in an area that is close to a door or is close to an exit or that I feel like I'm not trapped in. And I think that's a good thing for people to do when they have anxiety, like claustrophobia, that kind of a thing. And I did really well at planning and getting that spot. And then at the very last minute, one of the managers came in and stood in front of the door. And that was all it took for me. And it was a big room with a lot of very important people in it. So it wasn't like it was just a crowd of people that I knew. And I ended up going into a full-blown panic attack. I felt like I was going to throw up. I felt like I was going to pass out. And I had to get up in the middle of that conference and leave through the door because I couldn't handle the fact that there was a gentleman standing in front of that door blocking my way out. And it was the worst panic attack I've ever had.
Again, it amazes me of how many people suffer from anxiety every day. From people who run major multi-million dollar companies to the average housewife. Don't try to put a square peg in a round hole because it won't work. You have to be properly diagnosed. Don't sit here and listen to our experiences and think that it may work for you. We really don't have a major strategy, but again, mine is fight or flight. And 9 times out of 10, it's flight. So many of us that can relate to your story. When it comes to your story, it's so important that you share it with us because your story could affect someone else's life in a profound way. So don't hide your story. Get it out there in the open and help us use it to the advantage of furthering the mental health message. And that's only going to be effective through our stories. You know, one thing I didn't mention, Lisa, was phobias. They fall under the umbrella of anxiety attacks as well. And I am very, very claustrophobic. Let me give you an example. Has anybody had an MRI? When it comes to being put in that tube, I can't do it because it's major claustrophobia to me, not to mention the two titanium rods that I have in my back. But I have to be put out in order to get an MRI because I freak out if, you know, they try to put me in there without some kind of sedative. And that's just one example of how claustrophobia can completely take over and you're helpless. I'm stuck in an MRI machine. The first time I tried, I was like freaking out and I just don't like tight spaces. And then there's another phobia that we talk about often here, and that is agoraphobia. Agoraphobia kind of takes us back to the social anxiety discussion. The fact of the matter is you can't put yourself in those situations. I mean, you can try to talk yourself into it and, you know, as much as you possibly can, but you cannot put yourself in those situations. And many of us don't need to be told that. We know when it's time to hide out and when it's time to come out. So again, what does anxiety look like to you? Ponder that question and make sure you leave a comment below because we cherish your interaction with us. That is what makes matters so special, is the fact that we get to communicate through many different forms. Right now you're listening to a podcast, and we also do videos and have a pretty good presence on Facebook. That's where a lot of our conversations take place on a daily basis. And we love hearing from you guys. It's what keeps us going.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to see the stories, the questions that people post, the prayer requests that people have about the struggles that they're going through, and just the discussions and the fellowship and friendships that are being created through the Matters of the Mind pages. And it's a lot of fun to just be able to interact with those people.
So by all means, don't be anxious, but be confident that the story that you tell here on Matters of the Mind, wherever you decide to leave the comment, your story is so valuable. And I know it hurts sometimes to talk about it, but at the same time, I want you to know that the more we talk about it openly, the more liberated we feel. So I want to encourage you today to take a deep breath and reset. And speaking of resetting, it's time for us to say goodbye for now. It's been a pleasure to sit here and just have this conversation. And in order for the conversation to continue, we need to hear from you. You can leave your comments below wherever you're listening to us today. Perhaps that's iTunes. We're also heard on SoundCloud, Spotify, and many other social media platforms, podcasting platforms. And we invite you to join us each week for this podcast because it's always going to be full of pertinent, relevant information that you can apply to your life to live well. And that's our goal here at Matters, is to help you to live well with mental illness, whether it's anxiety, whether it's bipolar, PTSD, you pick your poison. We are here to share everything that we can with you as far as experience and education, and we want to get you on the right track. So for now, we're going to wrap it up and invite you to join us next time on Matters of the Mind, the podcast. And remember this before we go, you matter to us.
Thanks for listening today. You know, you can find a bounty of resources and great conversation too from Matters of the Mind on Facebook and Twitter. If you found today's episode enlightening, hit your like button, become a subscriber to the podcast, and join a community of folks just like you. Join us next time for another episode of Matters of the Mind, the podcast. And remember, together we can change minds about mental health, one conversation at a time.